Welcome to another chapter of Family Fiction's Christian Fiction Bookshelf Podcast, where we give you a deeper look into your favorite Christian authors and the inspirations, research, and methodology that goes into writing the books you love to read. Here's your host, Jamie Vaughn.
Hello, and welcome to our very first chapter of Family Fiction's Christian Fiction Bookshelf Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Vaughn. This chapter of Christian Fiction Bookshelf Podcast is sponsored by Revell, a division of Baker Publishing Group. And today's special guest is Laura France, who just released a brand new book called Tidewater Bride. Hi, Laura, how are you?
Oh, it's wonderful to see you today and meet with readers too, listeners. Oh,
great. We're so excited to have you here. How have you been dealing with 2020? And now that we're in 2021, what did you use your year doing?
You know, on the positive side, it was a great year for writing and reading. I was able to do a lot more pleasure reading in my time away from my usual activities. But honestly, my life did not change much other than my husband lost his employment because of COVID. My schedule didn't alter a whole lot. I'm a homebody. I do love to travel occasionally. So all my travel plans were scrapped, but I love being home. So that was just more writing time, more reading time, more baking. I'm a little fluffier than last
than I was a year ago.
But anyway, it was on the bright side, it was a rewarding year as far as rich alone time. And I love being solitary. So it was a win-win.
Yeah. Well, I would love to hear more about Tidewater Bride. Tell our listeners a little bit more about that story.
Well, I've said it before. Readers or listeners might get tired of hearing it. Think of the colonial American dating game. That's what Tidewater Bride is. Long before we had that crazy old show, The Newlywed Game, or whatever it was. In colonial days, there was such a thing as tobacco brides. And that was a venture that included kind of winning young women over in England to the idea of coming to a new land, which was Virginia, the New World, which required a lot of fortitude, a huge challenge for these tobacco brides. And basically, when they landed on Virginia soil, they were able to pick their choice of a bachelor and kind of do this courtship dance in the colonies. And that's kind of the essence of Tidewater Bride in a nutshell.
Oh, wow. So what draws you to write about colonial Virginia?
Good question. I haven't quite figured that out, even though I've written several books set there. My own ancestors came from Scotland and landed in Virginia many years ago. And their beginning was one of hardship and deprivation. But many of our ancestors, that's their story. Right. I've always been drawn to Virginia because at one time it incorporated Kentucky, where I was born and raised. And so I was reared on that wonderful history, a lot of it frontier history. You know, my own family came into Kentucky after Daniel Boone, who is one of my heroes. And so it just seems natural. I probably know more about Virginia history and Kentucky history than I do any other colony, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of safe or fun for me to stay there.
Yeah. Well, that's understandable. You know, we write and we do what inspires us. So if that's something that you latched onto, of course, that would come out in your writing.
Endless inspiration, because you have some of the major players there in, right. You know, at our country's founding, you have Patrick Henry and George Washington, George Rogers Clark, you know, they were Virginians. And it's just never ending novel fodder. I will have passed a before I write all the books that I have in my head and heart. So it's, you know, the race is on to get as many done as I can.
So what was your inspiration for Tidewater Bride?
It really starts with the historical figure of Pocahontas. Since I was about 7 years old, I fell in love with her long before the Disney version ever, you know, appeared on screen. Right. Much of that is Disney. It's not real, understandably. They drew, you know, certain elements from it, but she was truly the most remarkable woman. And I included her history in Tidewater Bride, not the history most of us learned, the sanitized or sugar-coated Pocahontas, but the Pocahontas of her people. I relied on oral history and written history from her own tribe to tell her story in Tidewater Bride. And it's heartbreaking, but I think it's also inspiring. And again, she was truly remarkable. So I try to give a little glimpse of her in Tidewater.
That sounds really fun. I'm going to have to read this one. So Selah Hopewell is your main character, and she has the task of finding suitors for all of these incoming tobacco brides. Can you tell me a little bit about the process? I mean, apparently tobacco brides are a real thing, but how did they really go about matching these women up with these men?
Well, there was a company in England called, you know, Company of Investors, Virginia Company, you know, wealthy men who had a stake in the New World because they felt that was sort of the future. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, that at that time, Virginia was a colony or would become a colony of Great Britain, which was at the time the kind of the superpower. Right. So the Virginia investors hatched a plan after 1607, when Jamestown was founded. It wasn't going well. So the investors scratched their heads and said, what can we do to make these men behave, basically? You know, they were foundering, they were starving, they were disease ridden, they were running off and marrying Indian women.
Right.
And it wasn't going well. So they hatched the plan of these tobacco brides. You know, tobacco was the crop in Virginia at that time. It was a hard start with tobacco, but it was, by the time of Tidewater Bride, it was the crop. It put Virginia on the map. So anyway, the Tidewater Bride plot was to bring these women over. And who were these women? Sadly, we don't know much about them. We have their names in the historical record. They had to be, they were described as comely maids, fair maids back then. They had, you know, a lot of 18th century or 17th century skills. Uh-huh. You know, they knew how to cook. They knew how to spin. They knew how to garden. There were certain requirements, you know, not the felons or anything like that that came later to the colonies.
Right.
So there was quite a standard then in order to recruit these women. Some of these women were alone, you know, they were in reduced circumstances. Some of them had no family. Some of them had family, but no marital prospects in the old country. So they decided to exchange that for the new land or the new world versus the old world. I think the hardest part of their history is that most of them died upon coming to the colony. You know, we don't have a lot in the historical record about success. There were women that did make it, like my Selah in the story, but she's fictitious. Most of them that arrived on Jamestown's shores didn't do well. You know, there was a seasoning, as it was called, and they died of disease. We don't know about their marriages, you know, but anyway, so it's fun to fictionalize that. And that's what I try to do in Tidewater Bride, give you a little bit of that history. And a lot of readers have said they've gone on and Googled it endlessly and learned more about it. And I even have some readers that have Jamestown ancestry, which makes the story come alive in a more real way.
Mm-hmm. And your books have been applauded for being extremely historically accurate. What type of research goes into that for you?
You know, I always try to visit the historical site I'm writing about. Of course, it's not always necessary. Not everybody does that or feels that's important, but I always go there. You know, I think my favorite historical site, other than Williamsburg, is Jamestown. Totally different vibe there, totally different feeling, much quieter in Jamestown. You actually kind of feel that heartbreaking history there, but also that hope, you know, that became probably the leading colony at one point, as far as our bid for independence and all those historical heroes that were born and bred there. But I just use a lot of documents from that time period. I go over letters. I try to absorb the language so that I can use that in the book. You know, I study what was happening in history, what was hot historic, you know, culturally, you know, fashion. I immerse myself in that as much as I can before I write a word, because I have to kind of have the full circle of events and what was really going on before you're able to pin or write down anything. Hope that answers your question.
It did. It did, very much so. Was there anything that came up that was a surprise in your research?
The challenge for me with Tidewater Bride was the Indian history. I'm always partial to the Native Americans, because when you research and study, and I have an Indian background, Cherokee, but the Powhatan Nation that existed at that time in Virginia and around that area was one of the most fascinating but formidable to research. There were many, many tribes. It's even hard to articulate now, but that was the challenge for me. And that was the most fascinating thing about Tidewater Bride, because those Indians were just, we had so much to learn from them, and they basically saved our bacon, because they gave us corn and other things that enabled us to survive when we came to Jamestown. So they are really the heroes in this story, though they've been undermined by history and our treatment of them. But the Powhatans, I give a big shout out to them, because just amazing, amazing men and women in that Indian tribe nation. Mm-hmm.
So tell me a little bit more about your main character, Selah Hopewell. I would love to know the inspiration, where she came from in your mind, in your heart, and what made you want to write about her.
Well, God is so creative. You know, it's amazing when you look, I've written, I think, 12, 13 books now. Not very many. I know I have friends that have written 100 books, but
it's more than I've
written. It's amazing. Yeah. Well, you're good at what you're doing. Keep at, keep going. I think the inspiration to me, every story is unique. All the characters are unique. And it's funny, because my first readers of Tidewater Bride told me, Selah is your wittiest heroine. And I never really even thought about it when I was writing her. And she is witty. She says and does some pretty clever things in the novel. Thank you, readers, for nailing her character and her temperament. So that was fun. There's a little bit of playfulness about her that's not always in my other books with my other heroines. And I missed her at the end of this novel. I actually cried when the novel was done. And I don't do that always. So there.
Wow. Wow. I love that. I feel like something that, you know, lived inside of you, and then that chapter was finished. That's amazing. Do you have a favorite character in the book?
Oh, yes. Easily, hands down. It's always the children. I try to incorporate babies. I love babies and children in my books. I wish I had been a mother of 10 and not 2. But so I get to do that in my books. I have lots of literary children running around. But Watsika, the peace child in Tidewater Bride, is my favorite character. And the second favorite character would be Oceanus, which is also a child character. And they get together in the book, and readers have even said, oh, what happens to them? And I said, well, they grow up and get married, of course. If I ever wrote a sequel, it would probably go, you know, be along those lines. But definitely Watsika. Peace children did exist at that time. We sent, or Jamestown sent English children into the Indian camps to live and learn. A noble thing. Sometimes it backfired. And in turn, the tribe sent their children, which were termed peace children, to the English to try to coexist, learn from the other. I do applaud that. There was much that went wrong historically back then, but that was kind of a win-win. Mm-hmm. But again, the tumult and turbulence of the time kind of overrode that. Not many people realized that there were peace children back then.
I didn't know that. That's amazing. I'm ready to pick that up.
Yes, brave thing to do. Mm-hmm. And so I tried to use that in the book, and I think it hopefully worked well. They were endearing children, at least to the author.
Okay. Love that. Well, I hope that they are, especially if it's a little child that you created in your mind. I hope that they're endearing and that's something, a piece of your heart coming out there. Is there a lesson that you want, or lessons that you want that reader to take away from when they read your book?
You know, I think for Tidewater, especially because it was such a hard beginning at Jamestown, I think, you know, God's story, it's his story. History is God's story. So in Tidewater Bride and all my books, I hope readers see that mm-hmm. no matter how hard life gets, God is there. It's still his story. He hasn't thrown down the pen. He hasn't walked off stage and, you know, tossed the manuscript in the drawer. He's still working on your story. I don't care how hard it is, how bleak it is, how hopeless you feel, there's always hope. He's always up to something. It's been true of my own life. It's true of my characters' lives. And I just am excited to share that on the page. We have hope no matter how hard it gets.
And that is so true. Very important. Laura, thank you for coming today and talking to us about your new book, Tidewater Bride. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today for your Christian Fiction Bookshelf podcast. I'm Jamie Vaughn. And thank you, Laura, for joining us to talk about Tidewater Bride, which is out now. So please go and buy it from your favorite bookstores. And for more details, you will find it and them in the chapter notes below. And if you've liked this chapter of Family Fiction Christian Bookshelf, make sure to click and subscribe the button below and don't miss another chapter.
Thanks for listening to Family Fiction's Christian Fiction Bookshelf podcast. Stay up to date on all things Christian fiction at familyfiction.com. Christian Fiction Bookshelf is produced by Ross Kluver, hosted by Jamie Vaughn, and edited by Brandon Woolham. Subscribe today wherever you listen to podcasts so you'll never miss a chapter.